Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Well, greetings, brothers and sisters. This is Kanya, the host of the Tree of Life talk show on Rainbow Soul. Now, the music that you just have been listening to, a little snippet of, the flute music, is actually the music that we used to play night and day on the corner of 125th and Lenox. And we had that so that it would change the vibrations of a negative community and turn it on to a positive space. Incidentally, our guest tonight has been doing that herself for, I guess, 50 years. Her name is Imani Ma'at. Hello, Sister Imani. How you doing?
Hello, Brother Kanya. Thank you so much for having me on this evening.
Let me ask you a question now. It seems that we've known each other, and I'm trying to remember where we did know each other.
Well, you know, the first time I met you, and I know you don't remember, but I'm from New York, and the first time I met you was at the Tree of Life bookstore in New York, in Harlem.
What year was that? That's been quite a while ago.
I have no idea, but...
Well, they tore our building down in 1980. That's 32 years ago, so it must have been before that.
It might have been. I just remember, you know, being in the city and coming through the bookstore, and then I met you several times earlier in Atlanta some years ago, but I knew of the Tree of Life bookstore, and even as a young person, I was always interested in African history and Black history, and you know, just kind of getting a sense of who I was, my roots, my history, my heritage, all of that. I grew up in New Rochelle, which is outside of the city.
Yeah, well, I'm very pleased to hear that, because it tells me that the work we started in 1969 has not fallen on deaf ears.
Of course not. In elementary school, I'll never forget, we had a Black librarian, and she used to bring me books, Black books, basically, about history and about, you know, historic figures. So she realized I really loved that, and she was always finding me more and more things to read about Harriet Tubman and, you know.
Fantastic.
From our past,
Where did you go to school?
New Rochelle Elementary, you know.
Oh, New Rochelle. Did you know Rudy D?
They live down the street from us. Their children
I was asking you, did you know Ruby Dee?
Yes. Their children went to the same elementary, junior high, middle school, and high school as us.
What a small world.
Very small world, yeah.
Very interesting. Now, she was one of our students of astrology and herbology at the Tree of Life.
Wow, that's why I think you mentioned that at one point.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Oh, yes. One of our first videos, when we were doing video shows, was with Ruby Dee, and I'm going to dig that out and make that available for people to see, because that's probably 30, 40 years ago. Kenya,
oh,
back, listen.
To that. Mm-hmm.
What was your name back then? Because I don't think it was Imani Ma'at.
It wasn't. I've gone through several iterations of names, and that was just part of my journey, I guess. But when I was younger, people knew me by the name of Patty Thompson.
What was it, Polly Thompson?
Patty, Patricia. But
Patricia
you
Thompson.
Call me Patty.
Wow.
Yeah, like Patty LaBelle. My favorite singers are Patty.
All right, that's beautiful. And how many changes have you gone through in your name?
Oh, well, a couple of last names. And when I was first Imani Thompson, and then changed my last name in the late 90s. And not that many name changes.
All right, that's beautiful. Now, Ma'at and Imani, those are Swahili terms, right?
Well, Imani is Swahili. It means faith in Swahili.
Uh-huh.
And Ma'at is actually an Egyptian belief system. It's 42 principles of Ma'at.
Uh-huh.
And very, very powerful principles. They include the Ten Commandments and everything else, and were formulated many, many, you know, thousands of years before the Ten Commandments. So a lot of people equate Ma'at with truth and justice and balance and reciprocity. Those are some of the main principles that people think of when they think of Ma'at. But Ma'at was a goddess who, sat by the gates, you know, when people were making transition, and she weighed your heart against a feather. And
I
so
see.
the feather symbolized those 42 principles. And if your heart was not as light as a feather, or if it was heavier than the feather representing the 42 principles, then you had to go back to start, get reincarnated. In other words, you didn't pass the test of this lifetime. You had to start all over again.
Oh, I see. So the concept of reincarnation is not foreign to you.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Okay, the reason I say that is because I mention that to so many people, especially Christians, and they say, well, it's not in the Bible, so it must not be true. But I showed them that it is in the Bible, and it was taken out of the Bible in 552 A.D. So reincarnation is one of the most important concepts that people can begin to think about. Because if we've all been here many times before, for example, we also know that there are two different, you might say, identities for each person. You have two selves. You have a physical self, which you can see, but then you also have an invisible self, which is you
absolutely
can't see. You
absolutely.
See? And that's the problem that most people have. They don't know that they have two selves, and the real you is the invisible one.
Mm-hmm. But, you
Isn't
know, it
amazing?
Makes me. It also makes me think of, you know, so many people name their children, and this is an African tradition, naming their children after
Baba
relatives,
Tunde,
ancestors.
Tunde.
That's right.
Baba Tunde means father has come again.
Sure, and one of the reasons for naming the children after the ancestors and the grandparents and so forth is so that their spirit can live again through the child, you know.
Deeper than that, what happens is that very often the great grandparents is the child that's reincarnated again.
Exactly.
That's very interesting, and that people don't know that. It's sad. But again, people are beginning to, because you're having these indigo children that are coming along now, and these are old souls that are coming back to bring us into this new day that's coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. My granddaughter is definitely in that crowd.
Sure.
So
Matter of fact,
I see it in her.
What I'd like to do one day is have an indigo child interview. Maybe you can take a couple of your children, and I know a few, and let them tell you how they see life.
That would be incredible. So maybe we can do that through Yes for Health, and I know we're going to spend some time talking about that.
That'd be fine.
That would be powerful.
And
because it's what they say. Hmm.
I said, since I see you're into theater, as among other things, we could actually do a reincarnation play where people come back as different races and different sexes and different, you know, because when I was a little child, I don't know if I ever told you, but I remembered about 10 of my past lives when I was about 2 years old.
Well, I think children, when they're younger, can tap into that wisdom and remembering.
Exactly.
So much as so as we get older, we don't remember as well. And then
exactly.
We
well, we've been
we've
been brainwashed out of it, you see. You don't see any allusion to it. They don't teach you that in school. They don't teach you that in church, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear
mm-hmm.
it on the radio. You don't see it on video. So after a while, the child gets so, well, I must have just been fooling myself. I must have been just a joke for me to imagine that I had been here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead. Do you remember any of your past lives?
Not specifically. I think sometimes things come up in dreams. I remember when my son was very little, he used to, he really liked music like James Brown and Marvin Gaye and The Temptations. And I said, why do you like that music? And he said, oh, I used to always listen to that, you know, way back when, you know, and he had to, like, catch himself. It's almost like he didn't want to scare me by what he was saying.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is what I listened to, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And I'm like, okay. You know, and he
exactly
was 5 years
right.
old at
exactly
the time.
Exactly right.
You
yeah,
know,
because, see,
so,
that's why it's so important for one day for us to admit to the children, yes, you're right, you have been here before. And see, when I do the horoscopes, it helps me to identify three important areas for each child.
Mm-hmm.
It is, first, for example, it helps me to, when you were born, you have certain assets that you gained in your last incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's very important for you to know that you have these assets. Also, each child is born with certain liabilities that they incurred in their past life, and very few people know what liabilities that they have to be working through this time. And then the third thing, each person has a mission in life. For example, you are performing your mission in life. This is what you were born to do. If somebody offered you $100,000 for, you know, to flipping pancakes in McDonald's, I don't think you'd take it. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. Not at all.
Anyhow, that was just a joke. But listen, tell our listeners about the fact that you've set up this, you know, haiku workshops, and, you know, you have something, youth educational services, and you're into using the theater and peer education and mentoring and youth ambassadors, African, Korean, Caribbean summer exchange and healthy parents and teenagers and dealing with diabetes and HIV. Hey, tell us a little bit how you got into all of that. That's very heavy.
When I hear you tell it, it sounds like, and I've always been a big dreamer as well as a doer. So I've worked in public health most of my adult life. I worked at the Centers for Disease Control until September of 2010.
That's Sitchin
and,
Group, wasn't it? Wasn't that Sitchin?
Excuse me?
Wasn't it the head of that, a guy by the name of Sitchin?
Dr. David Satcher was the director of CDC for sometimes. Let's see, I was heading up a huge program on health disparities where we looked at, we supported communities in developing unique strategies to address issues such as diabetes and high blood pressure and breast cancer and number of things, infant mortality, so and HIV. So, I've worked for many years you know, as a health scientist at CDC, doing the research, working with communities, supporting communities and doing new things. But, you know, there was that other side, you know, in terms of dealing with statisticians and the people who were collecting the numbers. And we just continued to see the numbers going up all the time, especially in our communities. African American, Hispanic, Native American communities have some of the worst health outcomes in all of those areas that I just mentioned. And I've always had a passion for youth and had a passion for poetry.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I had a talk with myself one time and one day, and it was like, you know, if I could do what I really wanted to do, you know, what would it be? And it would be teaching the youth about important health issues, but in a fun and creative sort of way.
Yeah,
so,
well, haiku, that's Japanese. You think you could have been Japanese in a past life?
I could have been, but let me go back to kind of the beginning, because the healthy haiku part is more recent. We basically, I came together with a good friend, colleague, Mr. Gary Ogden. He's an attorney by training, and he's done a lot of work with youth. Spends a lot of time devoting his life to working with youth, both in and out of the criminal justice system.
What's his name, you said?
Gary Ogden. You met
Gary. Oh, is that the brother that I met at the meeting that you had the other day? He was sitting to my
left?
Yeah,
I don't know where he was sitting, but he's just an incredible, incredible, wonderful person. And so we came together because we both actually had the same vision of creating a teen theater program teaching youth about health issues, and with one of the main objectives being to help raise self-esteem in young people and to get them on their path to think about their purpose in life. I heard you say that, you know, we're all born with a purpose, and I so believe that there are no mistakes. Everyone is here intentionally on purpose to do a specific thing. And I think there's so much frustration because young people, you get into the sheeple mentality that so many adults have, and they just go along with the pack, and they really don't discover who they are and what their gifts are for the world and what they're supposed to be doing. So even though we've worked with probably 300 or more youth since 2002, many of them did not go into theater, but a lot of them were able to kind of blossom and get on track in terms of you know,
Hold on.
What they're supposed to be doing. Sure.
Hold on one second, because let's back up now, because for a while you were working with Dr. Sechin, right?
Dr. David Thatcher.
And then when you decided to leave that, and why did you decide to leave that and do your own thing?
Well, I was doing my own thing long before I left there. You know, we created Yes for Health, which is Youth Educational Services for Health. Started that in 2002. We got incorporated as a not-for-profit in 2004. And, you know, we did two major productions, one on diabetes and one on HIV. We did a lot of community service work. We worked with a lot of organizations, did a lot of collaborating. We actually took a group of youth in 2007 to the island nation of Anguilla in the West Indies.
Hold on one second. You said you did something about diabetes. Explain that a little bit, because you got so much. I want everybody to hear.
I was going to come back to that, because we're actually bringing that play back. We do original productions, and one of them is on the importance of, basically, it covers all aspects from prevention of diabetes to management, people who do have diabetes, how they can manage and improve their health. You know, a lot of physicians make you feel like you got diabetes, there's nothing you can do about it, so, you know, just try to control it. But we we teach the youth, you know, all aspects of disease prevention, management, and all of that. And we also help them to create original production. So our signature play is called Drive Through Justice. And like I said, we did that while I was still at the Centers for Disease Control and teaching at Morehouse School of Medicine. In fact, one of the Morehouse
You've been teaching at Morehouse School of Medicine, you said?
Yes, I'm an adjunct faculty member there.
Wow.
In this Master of Public Health program. So, I've been doing many things at the same time, and I left. You asked why I left CDC. I left because time was up. I needed to really focus on what I enjoy doing and what my purpose is. So I learned a lot about public health. I got a lot of experience, a lot of information and exposure and all of that while I was there. But my passion and my drive to work with youth full-time, you know, and to do this work that I'm supposed to do was just pushing me to make that happen.
How were you able to sustain yourself? Were you able to, earn enough money? You said it was not for profit, but you have to live. So how did you?
I don't support myself through the not for profit. Haven't been. You know, we need to write for grants. We need to do a lot more of that in terms of fundraising and all of that. But I have, you know, I do consulting in public health, and I do a number of things to pay the bills. And one of the things I encourage everyone to understand and to know is that most of us are smart enough to hire ourselves, to do the work that we're here to do. If you're just playing around not playing around, because I don't mean to belittle anybody's, you know, career choices or whatever, but so many of us rely on somebody hiring them to do work, somebody giving them the list of priorities. This is what we have to do. This is what's important. And I got to the point where, I was even challenged by my supervisor to come up with my list of priorities, and I actually thanked her. I said, thank you so much for pushing me to think about my priorities, because I realized that where I am right now in my life, my 5-year goals have very little to do with CDC. And at that point, I said it's time to move on. I have to do what I'm here to do, and it was a very powerful moment for me. A little scary, but powerful. And I just kept saying, I'm smart enough to hire myself.
I got started, the Tree of Life. I started it as an experiment. You know, I figured I would give 1 year to seeing if I could do something about the school dropout in Harlem, which in 1969 was 80%. If I could do something about the drug abuse, if I could do something about the crime and violence, if I could do something about the inmates in the prisons, and if I could do something with creating entrepreneurs, I figured I'd give it a year. That was in 1980. That was 1969 that was. That's 42 years ago, and I'm still trying to experiment. But again,
there's still that need. The dropout rate is probably just as high now as it was when you were there in Harlem.
Right. I would love to help people to understand how easy it is to turn that around, but nobody wants to listen to me. I've talked to the presidents of the five presidents. I sent them information about how we have actually shown how to get the kids from dropping out, how to get them out of drugs, how to get them out of crime and violence, how to get them out of prison. They don't. I think that's the opposite of what they want it to happen, to tell you the truth.
Well, there are a lot of people who have come to believe that, because one of the things I have seen, so many youth who come to Yes for Health, and they generally come with a friend, and they're just there to watch.
Hold your point a minute, because I forgot
we
should take a little station break right here and tell you that you're listening to the Tree of Life talk show, and I've got the lovely sister Imani Ma'at that I'm interviewing, and hold on 1 second.
out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Well, thank you, and we're back to Sister Imani now, and I interrupted you. You were telling us a little bit about how you had a topic of diabetes, and you had a play about HIV performance. Tell us a little bit about that. When you were doing your diabetes thing, were you using any commercial drugs? Were you recommending any of those?
No, of course not.
I'm saying that because there are a lot of people that still use those, you know.
Yeah, no, of course they do. And we talked about, you know, people getting their A1C level checked every 6 months. You know, we talked about all the things that are encouraged, you know, by the medical establishment. I mean, if people have to get insulin, they have to get insulin. You know, there's really no going around that. But well, an important point that I was making right before you went to break is that I've seen a lot, you know, you're talking about being able to impact children basically wanting to learn, you know, slowing down the dropout rate. And what I've seen with youth who've come through our doors is that many of them really just want the attention. They want to know somebody cares about them. You know, they don't want to feel like just a number or, you know, somebody in a seat with, you know, that's faceless, that's soulless. We've had so many, and every time we meet, you know, there are new kids who come who are just coming to visit. And before we know it, they're doing a part, they're up on the stage with the other youth. They're asking if they can come back the next week, and we had that happen this week. We had it happen last week, and we're just starting a new season, so we really encourage parents and youth to come out. We're at the Horizon School, which is at 1900 DeKalb Avenue in Atlanta.
Okay, take your time now and give out this information slowly now, because I think people are running to get their pencil, so they write this down. Yeah, because they want to know how they can contact you and what kind of programs you're giving and when can they come.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, yeah.
Slowly now, because you're so fast.
Okay, I will go slowly. Youth Educational Services for Health, which we call YES, the number 4 Health. We meet on Saturdays from 12 to 3 at the Horizon School, HORIZON. At Horizon School, which is located at 1900 DeKalb Avenue in Atlanta. The zip is 30307. And we're at the corner of Sutherland, S-O-U-T-H-E-R-L-A-N-D, Sutherland Terrace on DeKalb Avenue. There's a big Lake Clear community pool right on one corner of the Horizon. They have a beautiful wooded campus, so it's easy to miss it. The entrance is actually on Sutherland Terrace right by
DeKalb Avenue. I'm backing you up a little bit because I know you don't know that you're talking fast, but as I try to write this down, I'm 10 sentences behind where you're at.
The Horizon School at 1900 DeKalb Avenue at the corner of Sutherland Terrace. And
okay, that's better. And this is every Saturday?
Every Saturday from 12 to 3, except that, you know, we'll not be there the day before Christmas and New Year's Eve or, you know, a week later. So
Okay, if you've got a phone number that people can call so they can get some further information?
They can call 404-702-4382.
All right,
and
that's beautiful.
We've got a blog site, too, that people can go to where we have our schedule and information. It's YES for Health. Sorry. It's the Healthy Haiku site. Let me look it up and make sure I give it correctly to people, because I don't want to say it incorrectly. We have a couple of websites, and this is a Ning site. Healthy Haiku, the number 4YOU.ning.com. I'll give that again. Healthy, yes. And the word haiku, HAIKU, the number 4YOU, Healthy Haiku for You, .ning, .ning.com. And that's our blog site. So we've got pictures and videos and fun things on there. And we also have a website that has information about the theater program, about it. I'm gonna talk a little bit about all the different things that we're offering this year, because it really is exciting. We're collaborating with a number of people, including Brother Dr. Kanya, and we're so excited about having you as part of our team. But let me give the website, which is www.focusedhealth.org. Focused is F-O-C-U-S-E-D, health.org, focusedhealth.org. So that's a site that has information about a lot of what we're doing. Again, we started our theater program back in 2002, got incorporated in 2004, and we had a number of areas, five areas in particular of service that we had started out with back in 2002. It was the theater program, peer education, because one of our main objectives is to train and educate young people so that they can, in turn, educate their peers with factual information about important health issues, instead of some of the rumors and mistruths, you know, that a lot of young people operate under. A mentoring component, youth ambassadors to Africa.
What does mentoring mean? Break that down a little bit.
Mentoring means supporting young people in, you know, achieving their goals and learning and training. Like, we've always had a layer of young people. We affectionately call them YAM, young adult mentors. People in their, you know, mid to late 20s and early 30s who have helped us with the youth and served as mentors and kind of big brothers, big sisters, and helped
role
us
model.
With every
yeah,
aspect.
That's
role
okay.
models, sure, sure. So mentoring is a big part of what we do. We have a youth ambassadors program. I mentioned that we did take a group of youth with another organization, Youth Leadership for Global Health, Dr. Wilma Kirchhofer, dear, dear friend of mine. And her.
And saying you took people over to a foreign country?
Yep, we went to Anguilla in the West
Anguilla.
Indies.
Anguilla, where is that?
It is in the British West Indies.
Okay.
South, way, way south in the islands. Had a wonderful time. We took the youth on a health study tour. So we visited.
Is that
hospitals.
Near Barbados? Is that anywhere near Barbados?
You know, I'd have to look at my map right now.
Well, don't bother.
Don't bother.
I was just wondering, because it's way
south. You know, when you look at the little strip of Caribbean islands, it's really in the southern chain.
Oh, it's near the tip of South America then, huh?
Probably not too far.
Well, whatever.
I don't want to miss
whatever.
Speak, because I don't have
the... So anyhow, you take these children out to the Caribbean summer. How long did they stay out there, and where did they stay, and what did they do?
We stayed for about 2 weeks, and we stayed at a beautiful mansion, somebody's guest home. I forget who. Dr. Wilma had made arrangements for our housing. It was a beautiful place. Our objective there was to expose the youth to another culture and another way of living. And
what was the culture like, and what was the way of living in that island?
Well, you know, every island is different. My family background is from Jamaica, and even though we were on an island country, it was so different from Jamaica. I found that people in Anguilla were so nice and so laid back and just very, very sweet. You know, they worked hard. One of the things that impressed us was that everybody, people owned their own homes. They owned their own land. They had a lot of, you know, their own businesses. They worked really hard. They had a really strong ethic, work ethic, and community ethic.
Uh-huh.
So I found it, like I said, I love Jamaica. My family is from Jamaica. I've been there many, many times since I was born.
And how does it differ from Jamaica then? What's Jamaica like?
I love Jamaica. It's a beautiful island, definitely one of the nicest places in the world. But I found what I liked about Anguilla was that it was drama free. You know,
uh-huh.
I find that when I'm in Jamaica, there's just a lot of drama and stuff going on.
Now, are you speaking about drama or are you speaking about drugs? I know I understand that Jamaica has a lot of drugs.
Huh? Well, you know, that's everywhere. But, I mean, interpersonal dynamics were very different in Anguilla.
Mm-hmm.
It was very peaceful. It was very quiet. It was very it was just very laid back, very cool.
Yeah,
and I remember one day I went to a gas station and I was filled up the gas and I was mixing up the money because their money was different from U.S. money, and it turned out that I thought that I had put in a certain amount. And I thought that I was cheated by the pump, you know, and the New York and Jamaican came out at me, and I'm like, well, how come your pump did such and such? But, you know, and the lady just kind of let me go on ranting and raving. She said, ma'am, that was in, I forget what they call their money, but she said, that was in our dollars. That wasn't in U.S. dollars. She said, so I've reset the pump for you. So, you know, you can go back and you got maybe $3 more or something. And I felt so bad because she was so cool, and
yeah.
I had gotten flustered for no reason,
yeah.
You know. And
well,
I said, here I am bringing drama to this nice, peaceful island.
Right.
But
she was probably used to people like strangers doing that, though, because...
Probably.
Yeah.
She just kept smiling the whole time I was ranting. But
right.
More importantly, you know, we got to visit hospitals and clinics and youth programs and... So the youth really got a chance to see.
Where did they stay?
Know,
where did they live? Did they live with any of the people from the island or what?
We lived in one place. It was, like I said, it was a mansion not far from the beach.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And it was a nice place. So we got to visit with people, you know, in their homes and different types of locations. Like I said, we went to the hospitals,
right.
We went to clinics, we went to youth programs, and we, you know, traveled. It's a very small island. There's one main road that connects the whole island. So we were up and down that road every day that we were there doing something different. And we, the newspaper featured our group, you know, one time, and it did a big article on us. Which I have somewhere. I need to make sure that we frame that.
Yeah. Did you have any videos? Did you take any videos of that? Because that would make a beautiful, you know, DVDs or you know what I'm saying.
We have still pictures. I don't know if we got much video, but I know we did a lot of still pictures and people who can turn still pictures into, you know, there's so many different things we can do with digital arts,
right.
Which reminds me, I want to make sure before I end it, I do talk about the other components of our program because...
One question now before you go too fast now. Are you going to do this again this coming summer?
In terms of going to another island? Well, that was unique. That's the first time and only time that we've done that since we've been together, since 2002.
I see.
So
because I'm sure that when people hear that... It sounds like, Well, I sure would like to do that, so that's why I'm asking you, are you planning to do that again, and how much does it cost, and when can I join?
We do want to do it again, and if we do it, we'll be fundraising, which is how we did it the first time. We'll be fundraising with the families. Our organization is very family-oriented, so we tell people don't just come and drop off your youth, because we really get parents involved in all aspects, not all of them, but you know, most of them volunteer in some way, shape, or form in terms of what we're doing. So that has really helped us. But we have a phenomenal spoken word artist. I talked a little bit about the haiku, which is a spinoff from Yes for Health. I started a
workshop. Well, tell us a little more about haiku, because I found that to be a very beautiful experience when I was in school at the American Academy of Asian Studies, and there were some Japanese people there. And they were doing all that stuff in haiku. Tell the people about haiku. That's very beautiful.
Sure. And I hate to keep jumping around. I told you that we could easily fill up an hour.
Oh, I know. Listen, this goes fast. That's why I'm slowing you down.
It does. But haiku is a ancient Japanese form of poetry from the 17th century. And it actually uses 17 syllables to tell a story very briefly, but in a very powerful way, and so that you get the point. Usually, you know, back in time, they used haiku to describe, you always knew what season it was, you know, because there's snowflakes falling or there's leaves blowing, you know, in the fall or whatever. So you always have a sense of what it looks like. In that background. But I've kind of taken creative license and used haiku to teach about health issues. So,
have you got any examples? Can you give us
one? I have plenty of examples. I've
give us a couple of haiku.
That we use. One of them, I remember Nikki Giovanni, one of my favorite poets, telling folks that she didn't memorize her poetry, and I don't memorize mine either, but I've been writing poetry all of my life. But one of them that I have memorized is on violence, because violence is such an important issue. So many of our young people are just taking each other out for, you know, senselessly. And so one of them, again, it's very short, but you get the picture. When he pulled back his fist, he stared at the lifeless face of his best friend. And I...
Say that again.
When he pulled back his fist, he stared at the lifeless face of his best friend. And so under the poem it says, use your brain and not your fist to resolve problems. You know, we there's so much of that going on. And we actually have a woman on our team who's going to be teaching youth about conflict resolution.
Yeah, by the way, that haiku, you know, I think what it does, it leaves you with a visual image of what it is you're talking about, because as you were saying that, I could see somebody standing up over somebody that they'd clubbed down, and then he looks down at his face and he's found out that he's killed his best friend. That's very heavy.
And I have an artist, a local artist, who did pictures for some of these poems, and that's one that he did a picture for, and that's exactly that. You know, they're standing there over his best friend, who's now dead, because he hit him in the temple, and he's dead.
Right.
But here's another one on HIV.
Okay.
Feelings explode in multicolored passion, so fashion this, AIDS kills.
Say that again slowly and let it sink in, because that's the value of the haiku, is so that you can get involved in it emotionally.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Feelings explode in multicolor passion, so fashion this, AIDS kills. And so HIV can be the consequence of unprotected sex. That's under each of my poems in this book that I've written, which is a training manual for how to do these workshops, I list the poem, and then I list sort of my take on the meaning of the poem. Uh-huh. You know, hopes and dreams see us together forever, but not if HIV.
Could people buy a copy of your poems?
They can buy the training manual, and we've got another book that just has the poetry from the training manual. The book is called Promoting Healthy Knowledge, Attitudes, and Behaviors Among Youth Using Haiku and Creative Expression.
How could one get that?
This one and the poetry book, which I'll tell you the name of the poetry book. It is Healthy Haiku Poetry Using Creative Expression to Transform Youth. And both of these are at the website that I gave, Focused Health, focusedhealth.org. Both books are listed under, I think, the Healthy Haiku section or the shopping section. Or I'd have to pull up the site for the sheet to tell you.
Okay, hold on one more second. I'll take a quick little break here. We're talking the Tree of Life radio talk show, and we've been speaking with Sister Imani Ma'at, and she's telling us about all the fantastic programs that she's inaugurated dealing with health and children and mentoring and taking children out to, you know, the Caribbean islands and doing poetry and all those goodies like that. And she's located in here in New York. I'm in New York. She's located here in Atlanta. And she has an address which she'll be happy to give you and a phone number.
I will. We meet on Saturdays at the Horizon School, and I mentioned we're at 1900 DeKalb Avenue, which is the corner of Sutherland Terrace. The zip is 30307. We meet on Saturdays from 12 until 3. We just changed the time. It was a little earlier, and we found it was hard for people to get out earlier. So we adjusted it just so that we'd have people for a good block of time. The poetry that I mentioned that we use to teach youth about health issues, we have a whole poetry, healthy haiku workshop series that we take out to schools and churches and mentoring organizations. And we do it two ways. We both teach mentors how to do these powerful workshops, and we also do the workshops directly with youth. So this is sort of separate but related to Yes for Health, because it was an outgrowth of Yes for Health. But again, if you go on the website focusedhealth.org, if you go under the About Us section, there's a shopping area where it has information about the books. The Training Manual for Mentors, which is the main book, Promoting Healthy Knowledge, Attitudes, and Behaviors Among Youth, Using Haiku and Creative Expression. The second is the Healthy Haiku Poetry book. And there's a special, you know, people buy both books. But we're very excited about collaborating with people for both our theater component as well as the Healthy Haiku workshops. We have some brothers who are teaching robotics to youth, and they've come on board, and they're there on Saturdays. Brother Kanye is going to be teaching youth about astrology and kind of knowing themselves from that perspective.
Right.
We've got an attorney who's doing teaching about conflict resolution. We have a phenomenal digital filmmaker who recently joined us from Chicago, who's going to be teaching our youth about film and filmmaking. And it'll be the youth that actually film our production on Diabetes Drive Through Justice that I mentioned earlier. So we've got a lot going on, and we've got room for more volunteers, you know, people who can come and assist us with grant writing, who can assist us with the theater component and performance. And I mean, there's so many different things that people can get involved with
I understand
well
you also have a program for teenage pregnancy and also for obesity and also about homicide. Is that correct?
Well, we cover all of those issues in Yes for Health and in the Healthy Haiku workshops. They're not separate programs.
Mm-hmm.
But those are topics that we cover. The training manual has like 9 different health issues that we cover. And again, our main focus is raising healthy self-esteem so that young people make good decisions in all areas of their lives. Mm-hmm. But we cover, and we cover delaying sex and the reasons for delaying sex. If people are clear about their path and where they're going, they understand that if they, at 14, 15, 16, get pregnant, have a child, that takes them off their path, at least for a while. Not that creating life is not a beautiful experience, but they're young, they don't have a job, they don't have the skills in terms of raising children, so it really takes them off of their path. So we talk about delaying sex. We have a section on HIV and AIDS. Smoking, drinking, drug use is all under one area, but all of those are very important topics that we cover. We cover violence, as I said, violence and bullying, which is so pervasive in so many of the schools right now. It's something that we really need to teach. We need to teach young people, you know, what it means to not bully and to do the right thing, you know, and to not get that crowd mentality. I remember I've gone into a number of schools and asked kids, you know, what do you do when a fight breaks out or when somebody picks on that new kid in school? And they said, well, we gather around and we say, fight, fight, fight. And I'm like, okay,
oh my
okay,
God.
That's not the right answer. But it's the consistent answer that they're speaking honestly. That's what they do.
That's what they get from television. You see, everything
right,
you see
right.
on television is violent. So therefore, you want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, get involved. Even baseball, football, everything, tennis, everything is violent. So that's what the kids get juiced up and want to see it.
Yeah.
Kill them.
So we,
you know.
So we're teaching skills around the value of life and how we're all one. So if they're beating on somebody, they're beating on you too. You know, feel
Amen.
That pain. Understand that's you. You know, I am you, you are me, and I am you. And you know, and it just doesn't get any clearer than that. So in our teaching and our training, we really try to give the young folks a sense of responsibility for each other. You know,
right.
for themselves and for each other, respect for their families. You know, when I was young, I remember, and I guess it was my parents that told us this, but we were told that when you're out in the streets, you're representing not only yourself, but you're representing us as your parents, your family, your grandparents, your extended family. So, you know, whatever you do, you know, understand that it comes back on us. And it's a reflection
mm-hmm.
on who we are as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kids have never heard that.
Do you do anything with meditation?
We have, we had someone come in one time. We did a session where we had healers with different skills come in, and we did have someone teach the young people about meditation. We need to do it more consistently. We've done breathing exercises and things to help get them centered and balanced and calm. So, you know, a regular-type meditation thing would be a nice
yeah.
addition to what we do. You know, we've got a 3-hour block of time.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is because, you know, I think I've been introducing you to the works of, you know, David Wilcock, right?
He's
got this book out now, which he's telling you that when you meditate, you actually have the power to control other people's thinking. And so as a result, that would be a very good thing to get involved in. For example, they say that if a group is meditating, it's like the same phenomenon of the 100th monkey phenomenon, where one
mm-hmm.
monkey begins to do one thing, and just because he's thinking about what he's doing, washing off the coconut before he eats it, before you know it, monkeys 100, 500 miles away will pick up his wavelength and start doing the same thing. And that's what human beings can do, too, because we're all connected, as you said.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have found that, you know, in meditating and fasting, we talk to youth about fasting. My husband's a master faster. he's pretty much living on a liquid diet. And, you know, what that does to his brain power, not everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. But we eat way too much. You talked about obesity and nutrition. Of course, we covered that. Not only
that. Yeah, we just had Dick Gregory on our last week, and he was mentioning how when he ran all the way from Los Angeles to New York City, he did it all on juices and things
juices,
like that.
Yes, I've heard him. And I've heard people ask him, well, you know, what does your doctor think about, you know, you living like this, you know, eating live and raw foods and juicing. And he says, I don't know, my doctor died. He's a comedian. But,
yeah.
You know, he has learned so much and has really had his brain power expanded because of his diet and the fact that he eats nutritious, wholesome foods when he does eat and does a lot of juicing.
Yeah,
and,
because I think I told you that when I met him in 1959 or 60, he was weighing 355 pounds.
Ooh, yeah, I've heard him talk about that.
And then he
wow.
went on a fast. Dr. Avinia mm-hmm. Fulton in Chicago put him on a 40-day fast, and he went down to 97 pounds.
In 40 days? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So in any event, listen, the time is running by so fast here now, and I want to commend you
wow.
for all the work that you've been doing and the breadth of your programs. And,
Thank you so much, Brother Kevin.
Yeah, we have a couple of minutes here, and I was wondering if you could try to sort of summarize what we've talked about for the last 40 or 55
minutes.
It's tough.
I think what's important is, in terms of what we're doing with Yes for Health and Healthy Haiku Workshops, is really we're blending public health and poetry and theater, you know, first and foremost, but we're also helping to help youth to tap into their own wisdom and their own power. One of the terms we created in the book is power source prompt, and we want to make sure that the youth have something else to fall back on. If they get into a conflict, you know, they can think of one of the poems, they can think of one of the plays or a line from a play or something that we've done to give them the power that it's deep inside of them to make the best choice, you know, when they have conflict, to say the right thing, do the right thing, as opposed to making mistakes that they'll regret, you know, for many years to come. So we're all about, you know, our motto is empowering youth, changing the world. And that's really what we're trying to change the world, you know, one child at a time.
Right.
By helping them and teaching them and loving them and caring about them. So
I see. Are you working
at
all with the president? Because I know he's been asking for help along these lines.
Well, we've got people who are connected with the youth obesity program of our First Lady, Michelle Obama. And, you know, so we are somewhat tapped into that. And there's a lot more that we have to do in terms of collaborating. But the more that we speak out about what we're doing, you know, we don't want our program to be kept a secret in the community.
I heard that.
You
well,
know,
listen,
we're
I want to thank you for appearing on our show.
Yeah.
We're just about out of time right now.
Okay.
And I would say that, unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to take any phone calls because I'm sure there's...
Yeah.
I forgot to give out the information for people to call in. But I'm
can
sure
I give the phone
call.
Number?
Yes, you can
again.
Call. You can share your phone number, please.
Okay, just in case they didn't hear it earlier, 404-702-4382 for additional information on Yes
nice
for Health.
Nice and slow now, nice and slow. You'd be surprised how
okay.
fast you talk.
I'm looking at the clock. I know you're almost out of
yeah.
time. 404-702-4382. You
well,
can
thank you
anytime.
Very, very much. And at the same time, if you want to call Brother Kanya, that's me. My phone number is 404-753-5700. That's 404-753-5700. You can call me at any time. I never sleep.
Thank you so much, Brother Kanya,
it's
for having
my
me.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Imani Imani Ma'at.
All right. Talk to you soon. Take care. Peace and love.
Right.